Hey there. Welcome to the second episode of Series 3 of Distillery Sessions. In this series, we're discussing all things Web3. I'm Steve Ween, founder of Distillery, a content company with offices across London, Singapore, and San Francisco. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Jessica Lawson on the previous episode. Next up, I'm chatting with Hash Pakbaz, Chief Digital Officer at JSR Corporation. Hash is driven by a passion for learning and creating impactful outcomes by building and leading high-performance teams and organizations. And he has taken products from invention to mass production and revenue, both as an entrepreneur and as an entrepreneur. Along the way, he has held executive leadership roles at conglomerates and at the ground floor of venture-backed startups, and in various organizational functions, including R&D, product development, P&L management of rapidly growing multi-hundred-million-dollar product lines, and as a CEO. I thought Hash would be a perfect fit for our Web3 series, as he thrives on working outside of his comfort zone, where he's challenged to learn and adapt and grow. As this series is very much an entry point for marketeers thinking about entering the Web3 space, I'm going to ask Hash to share some key definitions at the end of this podcast. A glossary, if you like, which I hope some of you might find helpful. Hash, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So you're responsible for the digitization of a major global company. How do you think Web3 is going to impact a materials company like JSR?
You know, to be honest, I don't really know right now how that's going to play out. What I do know is blockchain is a very powerful technology, and you know, as much as the internet has impacted our business, I believe blockchain will have similar, if not a bigger impact on our business in the future.
So do you think then Web3 is really here to stay?
Absolutely. I think the fundamentals of blockchain technology and the value they bring are quite foundational and quite important to how we do business. And so the fact is, you know, it's going to revolutionize a lot of things just like the internet did going forward.
So for organizations and marketeers looking to enter the Web3 space, could you go back a little bit and help us find an entry point? You know, we've talked about Web3, we've talked about blockchain. For someone starting their journey, can you help them find a way in?
You know, so, you know, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what I did in terms of learning about this technology and this space. And it all started with just, you know, reading a lot and getting online and gathering information and looking through it. The next thing is, you know, I really think it's very helpful to attend one or two, you know, popular conferences. You get to kind of immerse yourself in the community, see what the big themes are, start to get familiar with it. And, you know, the next, what I'm doing is really starting to connect with the community and getting deep dives into what use cases are gaining traction and, you know, kind of see how it goes from there.
So speaking of reading, you wrote a really interesting blog post about the enormous potential of blockchain. I'll add a link in the description below to this podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your thinking and about how Web3 fits into that thinking?
So, you know, I think the, you know, I'll use the word blockchain more than Web3, and you've heard me do that already. But, you know, basically the idea is, you know, blockchain is about the boring stuff, you know, things that are perceived as boring, standards, algorithms, automation, very much like the internet is actually. So let me take a step back and let's look at the internet for a second and draw the parallels. You know, as information was becoming digitalized and people were using computers to manipulate it with introduction of scanners and, you know, computers and digital cameras, a group of people got together and did something really amazing. They started to define a set of standards and automated decentralized protocols that governed how information moved around between computers. And it didn't matter what type of information it was, right? So now you have the capability to move digital information without human intervention between a connected network of people and computers. And the key thing is these protocols and standards are decentralized and automated, which allowed the marginal cost of distribution of information to go to zero. And we can come back to, and we've all seen how that has impacted, you know, businesses globally and at what scale. The blockchain technology is very similar in the sense that really at the core of it is a set of standards and algorithms that define and automate in a decentralized fashion and trying to minimize human intervention in the process of defining the ownership of digital assets and how transactions between parties govern the movement of those digital assets and keeping track of those transactions. So the marginal cost of transactions involving movement of digital assets and also the immutability of the record keeping and all of that is going to go to zero, which will have dramatic impact on how we're going to do business.
You made a really interesting analogy earlier, which really framed decentralization in a different way for me. It sparked a really interesting discussion around the internet and decentralization. Could you expand a little bit more about that, please? And, you know, I think you've got a really nice way of breaking down the decentralization piece.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the way I think about it is, you know, the internet is already a decentralized platform that we're using every day for moving information around, right? What got centralized is the user experience, right? The internet is a technology, is not an application, right? Users engage with an application with a use case that makes their life easier. They engage with a product. And, you know, products by their definition are built by organizations and, you know, good products, you know, use good technologies. And so using the internet, which is a decentralized technology, to build a product by an organization, which is a centralized entity that offers that product, is what we see happen, you know, in our current world. That principle is no different when the technology is blockchain or internet. So blockchain is a decentralized technology for movement and keeping track of assets. People will build, you know, compelling applications on top of it and offer those products to their customers. And customers will adopt them if they bring value to them. And, you know, that process is done by centralized organizations that are really good at understanding what customers need, making that frictionless experience happen for the customers, which drives the adoption of the product.
Are there any specific parts of businesses that you think are going to be more affected?
Yeah, so let me draw again, go back to the, you know, internet and the birth of internet. And I think the parallels are amazing. So when you look at a business like publishing, newspapers, so on, right? You have analog information, and then there's companies who offer a product, like a newspaper or a book, and they built a moat around their business by handling the distribution. That was the power of newspapers. The ability for a competitor to enter the market was very hard because distribution was very expensive, right? The internet drove the marginal cost of distributing information to zero. So all of a sudden, this big moat, competitive advantage, disappeared. So these businesses were heavily impacted by this particular aspect of the internet technology. So now, fast forward to where blockchain is going, right? Blockchain is going to drive the marginal cost of moving and keeping track of digital assets to zero. So if you're in a business where you're a centralized organization that has a big role to play in keeping track of assets, right? We have these centralized organizations that are very asset-centric. DMV handles your car registration. You know, banks handle your money, et cetera, et cetera. Blockchain is basically creating a platform for any digital asset, just like internet for any information, image, writing, whatever. So definitely, if you're in a business that has a moat defined by how you manage assets, you know, you're in big danger, right? Other companies will take some time, right? So it really depends on the nature of your business and how it overlaps with the capabilities of the blockchain technology in terms of how you'll be affected.
Right. Okay. So Distillery, we're a content company. How do you think Web3 will affect companies like us and the services that we offer to our clients?
You know, I think for companies like Distillery, this is an amazing opportunity. you know, one of the most advanced areas in blockchain right now is NFTs. Let's, for a moment, please, forget about the crazy, you know, Bored Apes and, you know, those things. Let's talk about, you know, the true fundamental value of NFTs, right? It's a non-fungible token, represents a digital asset. And NFTs are going to revolutionize how brands engage with their customers. And we're seeing, you know, experiments right now in that. Starbucks Odyssey, Nike Swoosh, some done well, some not so well. So people are doing a lot of experimentation, and they're realizing the power of NFT technology for how you engage with customers in a very different way. So I think for a company like Distillery, who is in that space of, you know, engaging with customers, how do you tell stories to you know, company stories to customers? You know, you have a great opportunity to create some amazing customer engagement capabilities for your customers.
So how do you think that Web3 is going to affect the relationship that brands have with their customers?
So I think you're hitting on a very important area. And the question that you're asking is exactly what every company like you should be asking themselves is, here's the technology, here is a brand, here is the customers of that brand, and what are all the amazing things that this new technology can offer me in engaging those customers? How to engage those customers in a much more effective way than I used to without this technology? So, you know, I think there's a lot of experimentation to be done, but think about, you know, the types of things that Starbucks is doing with Odyssey, where, you know, the customer is getting rewarded with NFTs, and not necessarily, you know, NFTs that they can go sell for money, right? I think we have to take those types of ideas off the table. It's really how those NFTs then enable the customer to connect the digital and the physical world. I have some NFTs, I've, you know, gained some loyalty points, I go to a physical location and it unlocks an experience for me there, right? So, you know, can a Google customer who's telling their story from Google get some loyalty points or other things that allows them and their employees to go experience new things in the physical world, unlocked by the NFT? Now, again, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but these are the types of things that NFTs enable and the types of experience you can unlock with this technology.
Hash, I wanted to ask you a question around content specifically. Do you think that NFTs come under the bracket of content?
You know, it goes back to the thing you don't want to get into, which is what is content, right? So I think, you know, there's a parallel here with, you know, the way people define the eras of the web, right? Web one, the read era, you know, you're presented information, you consume it. Web two, the read-write era, right? Where people can share, content generators now can share information with others, right? And then Web3, you know, kind of defined as read, write, own era, right? So content has aspects of ownership, and that can be governed now. It was very hard to govern it, you know, in the digital world, but you can govern it. It has aspects of now becoming programmable through a link to a token that's programmable on a blockchain. And I think that programmability aspect of it that makes it interactive in ways we have never thought of is kind of this new capability that's going to change the way content is used.
So it's really exciting how Web3 is really revolutionizing, you know, the value chain in content, really taking from a one-to-one sort of transactional experience to something that can gain value over time. It's something that we're very much exploring at the moment.
It's not just gaining value, but now, you know, content you output today is mostly static once it leaves, you know, the factory, right? With blockchain and NFTs, that content can actually change character as it interacts with the environment according to certain rules that are in the contract that's attached to the content. So now you have, you know, dynamic content. I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are amazing, you know. I'm not smart enough to know how to make money from it, but I can imagine people are going to figure it out.
So in terms of the ownership aspect of Web3, what sort of impact do you think that'll have on the customer experience?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of things I assume brands would like to do that they're just unable to do it today because the technology doesn't exist. Like, you know, I'm sure brands want to be able to give digital assets to their customers in order to, you know, in different forms of reward and so on and so forth. And the second thing is, of course, customers have a different value on a reward that belongs to them rather than belongs to the platform, right? So when I leave the Starbucks ecosystem, for example, I would not be able to take my rewards with me. Blockchain technology manages all of that for you. So the ability to do a lot of things like giving customers things that you could not give before, you don't need an infrastructure set up to manage all of that. You know, blockchain technology manages all of that for you. And the customer's experience is very different. Now, they kind of feel connected to this thing that's been given to them because it's theirs. It doesn't belong to the brand anymore. Right, so I have a personal connection to that object or item.
So what companies are out there that are really leading the way from your point of view?
I'll put my consumer hat on for a second, right? So as a consumer, you know, I haven't been impacted in any way, any fundamental way by the Web3 so far. So I'd say that there's a lot of experimentation, but not a lot of real world adoption. You know, I would say we're in 1993, right? Pre-read web, but it's moving much faster than the evolution of internet happened. I mean, much faster. It's phenomenal how quickly things are moving.
And who's really moving quickly in this space?
Yeah, so I think, you know, as always, you know, companies who are willing to experiment are the ones that'll get there first. So people like Starbucks and Nike who are very active experimenting. You know, McDonald's is probably going to get into it pretty soon. And so I think that's the key, is the companies who start to engage the technology, run proof of concepts, and are not afraid of experimenting and keeping the blast radius, you know, limited. So if something does go wrong, you know, it's not catastrophic to the company. So I think if you are willing to do that, you know, you're going to get there first.
So your advice to businesses who haven't started on their journey yet is to really get out there and start iterating.
With one boundary condition, right? Do not abandon fundamental business 101 principles. Right. I've heard so many times, you know, oh, this time it's going to be different. And, you know, this the quote that I love the most, and I, you know, run it through my head every morning when I get up, is everything is going to change so that everything can stay the same. So, you know, the playbook for adoption of new technology has been around for 30, 40 years. A lot of startups have successfully executed it. You know, things like new technology adoption lifecycle, you know, 30 years ago, written by Jeff Moore and others. You know, don't get enamored by it's going to be different this time. It isn't. You know, do not abandon fundamental business 101 principles as you go experiment.
And then in terms of the big trends for the next 12 to 24 months, what do you think is on the horizon? What sort of opportunities do you think are going to arise?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this experimentation with NFTs and customer engagement, I think that's really going to pick up in the next 12 to 24 months. I mean, people are going to push the boundaries of NFT technology. Again, forget about collectibles and, you know, baseball cards. I'm talking, you know, real sophisticated, programmable experiences. I think that's going to really pick up as brands start to realize the potential here. You know, the other area, you know, you don't see it as you don't get impacted as a consumer is the whole blockchain infrastructure area. There's a lot happening there. I think the biggest areas in the next 12 to 24 months are, you know, what we call ZK proofs and ZK rollups, which will drive the cost of transactions down, bring more security to and more transaction speed to execution, and also enable privacy on blockchain, which is very important to enterprise. You know, right now, a lot of public blockchains, you know, records are public. And by privacy, I don't mean a private blockchain. I just want to make sure it's clear. It's actually bringing privacy to a public blockchain. So I think the ZK rollup space is going to be very foundational in impacting how blockchain infrastructure will develop. And I think the third area I hope we'll see more activity in is, you know, regulation around cryptocurrencies. You know, cryptocurrency has been detrimental to the blockchain space. And until it's reined in, that negative halo is going to continue to impact adoption of blockchain.
Awesome. So speaking of trends, what's coming up? I know that you're planning some more blogs. What have you got in the works?
So my first post was around the boring, you know, perceived boring stuff about blockchain, which is the power of standards and algorithms. My next one, which I'm writing right now, is around why cryptocurrencies are the Achilles heel of blockchain and why blockchain should decouple themselves from cryptocurrencies in order to really gain, especially in enterprise, adoption. So I'll talk about that next, and then we'll see where we go from there.
So, Hash, where can people find out more? Where can they read your work? How can they connect with you?
Just follow me on LinkedIn. You know, whenever I see something interesting that I think it's worth sharing with the community, I repost it. Whenever I have an interesting idea that I think is good to share with the community, I'll post it.
Hash, you've got a really great ability to break down some very complex topics. Could you talk through, in your own words, some definitions for Web3, blockchain, and NFTs?
Sure. So, it's a confounding space, right? People define it very differently. You know, the best definition I've seen for, you know, Web3 is basically this evolution of web that people talk about. You know, Web1, the consuming web. Information is out there in forms of website. You go consume it. Web2, the sharing web, where a content generator can very easily share their content with others and vice versa. And then Web3 is defined as owning web. So you have the read web, the read write web, and then the read write own web. Honestly, you know, I have trouble understanding how that impacts how people use Web3. I'm a product person, so I focus on technology stacks instead. That's the way I analyze problems. So in that sense, the technology that enables Web3 is blockchain. And so if you look at blockchain and you think about products, then you start to think about, all right, what are the experiences that people can build on top of a technology that, you know, brings value to their customers? So I have blockchains and then the application layer that sits on top of the blockchain. And all of that, of course, sits on top of the internet. So that's kind of the way I kind of look at it, is these vertical stacks. But, you know, you'll see Web 1, Web 2, Web 3 all over the place. It's just not as illuminating for me when I think about these concepts.
Awesome. What about NFTs?
So NFTs, let's talk about that in the context of blockchain. And that's kind of one of the key aspects of technology of blockchain, which is standards. How do you define a digital object? Well, blockchain people have written definitions and standards around fungible assets, ERC-20, for example, in the Ethereum world, and non-fungible assets, which we call the NFTs. But really what they are is two different standards for two different digital assets that will behave differently in a blockchain ecosystem.
And decentralization?
You know, that's an interesting question. So, you know, the internet is fully decentralized. Right? In order for you to use the internet, you join the internet, and that's an automatic thing people do every day. Right? I have network cards in my laptop or phone. And I don't go, when I go buy it, I don't say, oh, please make sure there's a network card in it, right? It comes in standard, right? And then you join the network as soon as you turn on your computer. So it's highly decentralized. Blockchain is somewhat decentralized. And in order for you to participate in the blockchain network, you have to join the network. And that's much harder. Much harder. You know, I dare you in an hour spin up your own Ethereum node and join Ethereum, right? So that's very hard, technologically complex. So centralized organizations like Infuria are forming that make the on-ramping process much more trivial. Again, a product built on the blockchain, but you can join the network through Infuria, but now they're managing, you know, a whole bunch of nodes. So is that centralized? Is that bad? I mean, I don't know. It works. You know, it allows people to get on the network. Will it change? Yeah, you know, maybe someday every laptop will carry a special chip that's a blockchain-specific chip, like a Wi-Fi chip, and you join the network just by turning it on. And then the degree of decentralization is something they all talk about. You know, Ethereum has many, many nodes. Solana has much fewer nodes. You know, does it matter? I don't know. You know, it will depend on the application and the use case.
Thank you so much for joining us, Hash. We'll add all of those links in the description below this podcast. And thank you for listening. Please do follow us on social at We Are Distillery. Get involved in the conversation, hashtag Distillery Sessions. And I'll see you shortly for another episode in our Web3 series.